Genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Ah, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turning now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're on every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ AM 1400, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County. You can also hear us streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura. If all of this sounds like National Public Radio, well, you're getting the idea. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is NPR done right. If you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008, 639-0008, or if you're outside of the county, it's area code 805-639-0008. Keep that number handy because we have two ice creams to give away in this hour, both from McConnell's Fine Ice Cream here in Ventura. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is how cultures change over time. Every one of my guests will discuss an aspect of culture that is changing or has changed in our lifetime. My first guest examines how social media is impacting business and presentations in our culture both today and in the future. My second guest looks at the changing face of Mexican culture and the impact of drugs and Mennonites in Mexico. That ought to be an interesting segment. Third guest looks back at a bygone culture through the lyrics and music of one of that era's most prolific composers and lyricists, Johnny Mercer. So if you want to join the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. As I said at the top of the hour, we have those ice creams to give away. So I'm going to give away the first ice cream from McConnell's Ice Cream to the third caller who calls in at 639-0008, 639-0008. Remember, McConnell's is located right here on East Main Street in Ventura, and they use the French pot method of making ice cream. My first guest, Tom Bunzel, describes himself as an analog guy living in the digital world. Yep, he lives and loves and even writes about technology. While many of us are adapting to Web 2.0, things like applications like Facebook, Twitter, and Foursquare, he's already looking ahead to Web 3.0 to understand how communications, training, and learning are going to shake out in the next generation. Tom specializes in knowing what presenters need and how to make technology work. He's appeared on Tech TV's Call for Help, and he's been a featured speaker at Infocom as well. He makes his living as a technology coach for corporations. He teaches regularly at Learning Tree International, and he's written 11 books. His latest book is titled Tools of Engagement, Presenting and Training in the World of Social Media. Welcome to the show, Tom. How are you today?
I'm doing great, Bill. Nice to be here.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you on the show, too. So as I look out at the world of technology today, the world seems really bifurcated between two types of people. They're the traditionalists who like meetings, they like PowerPoint presentations, they want to hear stuff from a vetted authority or a teacher, versus the new generation, which I'll call progressives, who want information when they need it, where they need it, even if that means while they're on the run. The first group, the traditionalists, we're a lot less comfortable with the new technology than the second group. So how can these two groups coexist? Or in the words of Rodney King, why can't we all just get along?
Well, that's a great question. I think the world of communication and presentation is where these things really, of necessity, come together. Because I think the traditionalists, as you call them, will find that as they go out and continue to use traditional methods, they're going to come up with a lot of pushback from the progressives. I mean, just in the field of PowerPoint, for example, you have this phenomenon called the back channel, where people who are in the audience are on their PDAs or their iPhones and they're tweeting back and forth about the presentation. And so traditional presenters who aren't aware of that and take it into account are going to run up against problems. On the other hand, when the two worlds come together and those traditional presenters begin to embrace and trust these new trends, they're going to find that there's a lot of new dynamic energy that comes into the presentation world, and that the presentations become part of an ongoing process or conversation in which everyone really benefits. And if they can embrace that, if they can start to trust that world, I think everyone's going to be a lot better off.
All right, Tom. Well, that's interesting, and you sort of leapt ahead to something I wanted to discuss, so we're going to leap right to it, and that is this whole idea of back channel. Now, I've given presentations in front of small groups, even audiences as large as 700 or 800 people. I can't imagine looking out at the audience of 800 people and all of them with their heads down, not looking at me, thumbs clicking away as they use what you call the back channel. So tell me, I'm more of a traditionalist in this sense. Tell me, as I'm giving a presentation to 800 people, how could I use that back channel to make my presentation more effective, or how could I at least know that I'm engaging with my audience because their eyes are down and they're tweeting away?
Oh man, that's a tough. Again, that's a tough call. I mean, it's a matter of using the energy and somehow shifting it back to yourself. And of course, a lot of that has to do with the quality of the material that you have to present, but it's also your attitude. I think if you come from the attitude of I'm broadcasting this presentation and you're there to receive it, you're going to get that pushback and you're going to have those heads down. On the other hand, if you engage that audience and you ask, the essence of it is humanizing and asking a lot of questions. And you can use that back channel, for example, for polling. You can say you can put up a question in PowerPoint and say, what do you folks think about this particular trend? What is your opinion on what I've just presented? Stuff like that, so that you engage the back channel, you show that you've understood it, and just like any presentation, really, the more interactive that you make it, use the back channel to make it more interactive.
All right, very interesting, and I'd love to know how you could do one of those polling things. So just play that out for me. Have you ever done that successfully, where you've been in front of an audience and asked them to give you feedback on a thought or an idea?
Yeah, well, I've seen it though. Well, it used to be done with some with stuff. You know, you used to have these little keypads that you put out to the audience sometimes, and you would analyze data that way. Large corporations, I've seen pharmaceutical companies, for example, use that in different presentations. Got expensive, and it's very technically, you know, it takes a lot of technology. Now you've got these people with Twitter, so and it's on there. There are tools that let you actually aggregate the Twitter results, but basically you could have a Twitter stream showing on one of the screens in the hall, and as you ask a question, people can see what some of the responses are. What you may need is a monitor of some kind, some other person that helps you to kind of get the best questions off the Twitter stream so it doesn't interrupt your train of thought while you're presenting, and then have those brought up to the podium so you can address them. And that way you get like a nice flow, a nice circular thing going on where you address questions that are coming directly from the audience based upon the material that you're presenting, and you're really engaging the back channel.
We're talking to Tom Bunzel, everybody, author of the book Tools of Engagement, Presenting and Training in the World of Social Media. And Tom, things definitely are changing in the world of social media. We're getting away from PowerPoint presentations. People have different expectations when you address them in either a selling situation or in some sort of an educational situation as well. We touched on one of them, this whole idea of the back channel. But tell us, what are today's audiences really expecting in terms of engagement and participation? What's their level of expectation?
I think they're really expecting graphics of the quality of CNN, quite frankly. I think you're competing with broadcast TV and movies and special effects now and limited attention spans. So the idea of putting up a bunch of text, a bunch of bullets, for example, is just really passé. And using the tired old templates is also very passé. I wouldn't count PowerPoint out entirely, though, because the new version has a lot of features that include multimedia and video in new and exciting ways. But there's a lot. There are also competitors to PowerPoint. There's, you know, Keynote on the Mac, and essentially many other new tools online. There's a tool called SlideRocket that's like PowerPoint directly online. And what these tools can do, especially when they're online, is aggregate content from different websites, different blogs, and especially video, like YouTube video. Video, I think, is the biggest trend, is that people expect to be engaged in an exciting visual way. Again, with broadcast has kind of led the way with that. And they also want a nice, clean look. They want quick, crisp ideas. And then they also want the opportunity to participate. Again, they don't want to be broadcast to. They really want, you come out there with your spinning logo, all about me, this is what I do, blah, 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 it's turning people off. If you come out there with how can I provide value to you? What are your issues? Having read maybe their blogs, having read maybe been part of their social media before you even got there and engaged with them, then you have an opportunity to really have much more successful interaction and presentations and deliver your message in an environment that's really conducive to them getting the message and responding in the way that you want.
All right. We're talking to Tom Bunzel, everybody. And you brought up an interesting point, Tom, as you were flowing through that about blogs. You know, you read my blog, I read your blog, long before we have some sort of a meeting or a conference together. But in your book, you really hit hard on the fact that today's speakers need to have a presence, or some people call it a platform. Expand on that a little bit for me.
Well, it's really a profile. You need to be present out there in the social media world so that people can get an idea of who you are. Now, it depends on exactly what you, if you're in the company, if you're in an organizational environment, you may only really, and it's all internal stuff that you do, you may only need that presence internally at first. But there's two aspects to it. First of all, people need to know about you. You need to participate actively in other areas. And it needs to be a human part. There needs to be human components to it as well. That's a very important part because one of the most successful books in this area is called Trust Agents by Chris Brogan and Julian Smith. And what they really talk about is what it takes to get social capital in social media. And what that entails is having a successful profile that embraces a lot, the entire breadth of your interests and your skills. Again, where you're not really trumpeting yourself. And a big part of your profile is also giving value and empowering other people. So you need to have a presence out there. It's not enough to just put up a blog and then when you have something to say, post something about yourself. It's really important to visit other people's blogs in your field of interest, participate in their activities, and then they will get an idea that they will have a sense of who you are. They will see your profile both directly and indirectly by how you behave, and they will come and visit you, and then your interaction with them will be more human and more natural, which is really the essence of social media.
All right, so link and relink, tweet and retweet is what you're saying. We're talking to Tom Bunzel, everybody, Tools of Engagement. Tom, I'm going to ask you to draw back a little bit and give us the view from 30,000 feet. What do you think the impact of Web 3.0 is going to have on things like our attention span, our learning style, even our focus and our concentration?
I think it's a two-pronged thing. I think we have to be very careful because I think that the more we have our heads down on, maybe I'm more of a traditionalist, you know, as you introduced me, I'm an analog guy in a digital world. I see a lot of problems with people's attention spans and their ability to be present and really focus on things to the extent that they're constantly online. I think you need a break from that. On the other hand, I think the positive aspect of it potentially is that we really are linking ourselves together. We really are, engaging one another and in some ways creating almost a nervous system around the planet where everybody is part of a larger whole, a larger organism, both within organizations, within their own social groups, and then even within the planet itself. And we see, and the positive aspects of that is how we get our news and how we communicate. And now some of it, again, can be negative. Some of the stuff can be erroneous. But when we found out about Michael Jackson's death, most people found out about it first on Twitter. And we have that real-time phenomenon that's happening, and that can be a positive thing where we energize people, we inspire people, we really communicate on a very deep level. And it can have that negative aspect where we, especially among young people, I'm afraid, where they don't learn first that they need to really apply mentally to a specific task to get it done, and they can't really read and watch TV and text at the same time.
We're talking to Tom Bunzel. And Tom, it's interesting that you should say the internet is like the world's nervous system. You're the second guest in 2 days running that has said that. Tom Bunzel is the author of the book, Tools of Engagement, Presenting and Training in a World of Social Media. Tom, and we've only got about a minute left, what do you hope readers will get out of reading your book?
What I want them to get is how communication is evolving and how it's part of an evolutionary process even among, I would say, human beings. And that the way we engage each other has to be less about just telling people what we're about, but a two-way street. And that makes presentations more successful if you use the social media model and you begin by becoming engaged with people and having an ongoing conversation. But then it also carries over into all of our activities. I think that we're living in a time where people trust organizations and institutions less and less, and I think the social tools give us a little bit more leverage, give us a little bit of backtalk to certain brands and to certain institutions, and hopefully will humanize our environment and will lead to positive steps, positive evolution in our social fabric as well.
Great. We've been talking to Tom Bunzel, everybody, a guy who describes himself as an analog guy living in the digital world. He's also the author of Tools of Engagement, Presenting and Training in a World of Social Media. Tom, thanks so much for being our guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thanks so much. It was a pleasure.
It was my pleasure, Tom.